top of that, we even had videos made to show people step-by-step how to resell those and everything else. So we basically put together different parts of the package, because you can give somebody, you know, so-called the keys of the Ferrari, but if they don't have a license, they're just going to crash it, you know. So we gave people the software to build their business, but we needed to give them the mindset, and that was the goal of the Mastermind series. And then we also gave them some other products, you know, JV Zone, member-to-member offer zone, other things on top of that, and just a big combination. So the planning did have a – everything did have a purpose. You know, maybe a lot of people didn't see it all come together like we did, you know, but everything did actually have a purpose. So when you're planning, make sure everything has a purpose. Make sure there's a reason why you're doing this. Make sure you understand your market, and – you know, try to provide as much free content as you can, you know, during your pre-launch to get attention. And basically, make products that you could sell, you know, for $10, $50, $100, you know, or more, and give it away, you know, because people are going to be thinking, wow, this is cool. This guy's giving me this is free, you know. Wow, I can't wait to see what he's offering for sale, you know. If this stuff's awesome, I can't wait to buy his product, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's real important. And also in your planning, you've got to be in constant contact with people such as, you know, your affiliates, your JV partners. You could hire an affiliate manager if you want, but when working with partners, one thing I don't like to do is hire somebody to kind of take care of all the partnerships. Because I want to do that personally, because it's a relationship, you know. I will sit down and write personal emails and email them to each person, you know. I don't want to just have them all in a mass autoresponder and have my staff or somebody mail out an email to all the JV partners. I think that's just kind of cold. So I'll keep in contact, warm contact with all the partners involved. And I did that for several months during MME3, so basically, all of our top producers on the launch were people we, you know, had good working relationships with for a long time, and we were in constant contact with them. You know, talking to them on Skype, MSN, you know, email back and forth, you know, things like that. So it's really important to also plan your launch strategy, how it's going to launch. You know, is it going to be just you? Or are you going to have partners help you launch it? And, you know, if you have a list of a million people, I guess, then I guess just you could launch your product. You know, well, even if you have 10,000, you can just launch it yourself if you want, as long as they're responsive. But by involving partners with your product, you can do so much more. You can cover more ground. There's so many more areas you can reach. And you start getting word of mouth, you know, people talking about you. And that's a real. That's another key is word of mouth. You know, when people are talking about you, that's good. You know, and so you've got to just kind of manage all that, and make sure you're very open with your partners. You know, show them your product, give them full access. You know, tell them what you're doing, tell them exactly what's going on, and you know, don't try to blow smoke or try to, you know, hype things up. Be just very straight and honest with your partners, and because they understand business, you know, they're not idiots, and you know, just work with them one on one. And you know, I guess other things you have to decide are, you know, what software are you going to use to run your business, who's going to write your copy, where are you going to market. You know, there's a lot of things you've got to decide depending on your product. So basically, just like Simon said, it's good if you can have someone to talk to about it in the planning stages, because if you're by yourself, it's really hard. I mean, you can do it, but it's a lot easier if you're talking with other people. So I would suggest for a big project or even a small one, try to find somebody to work with on it. Or if you do it by yourself, try to ask other people as you're going along, or when you're finished, ask them their opinion, things like that. So there's a lot of things involved in the planning stages, from, you know, you've got to plan the building of your product, the development, the marketing, the pre-launch. You know, those are all things you've got to plan, and every product's different. So You know, I'm just telling you what we did for ours, but you could apply the same strategy into any market, basically. Just plan how to build it, plan how to launch it, plan on giving away free content during the pre-launch, that kind of thing. And hopefully, you know, anybody can have a successful launch, you know, doing that.
Excellent. Now, you've gone right from brainstorming and planning into the pre-launch, really where we're looking at what you said, reports, audios, videos, basically something of value that you can give away for free, as well as building the other side of the business, building up the relationships with your joint venture partners and your joint venture prospects. Simon, is there anything else that we should be thinking about when we're looking at the pre-launch phase?
Well, yeah, I think, well, I mean, Jeremy covered it a little bit there on, you know, we did the Marketing Mastermind series. I'd just cover a little bit more on that and some of the other reasons why we did that as well. As Jeremy said, the key reason, our thinking behind that was we're going to give people the MemberSpeed software, which is great for them in a business. You can do anything you like with it. But we, as Jeremy was saying, we wanted to people to get the mindset, and that really, really helped. We thought, you know, to interview people that were top of the game in all different parts of marketing, so people could, you know, go away and listen to those and get some ideas and start thinking about ways they could use the software. But there was also, I mean, for the people listening to this now, I mean, there was also another reason behind doing those calls. We both knew one of the things that we had to do was attract some attention to the launch, but also attract people that didn't necessarily know us. You know, our best customers had bought MME2, and we did, you know, the best part of $700,000 with that. But our goal right from, you know, the day after MME2 closed was MME3 was going to be bigger. I mean, our initial goal was 1 million, and then it was like 1.2 million. And then we settled on 1.5, and eventually we did 1.7. But we knew we needed to attract a wider audience. You know, we had to create a broader appeal. And the people that we interviewed were in, you know, they were experts in markets that we weren't necessarily well known in. I mean, the whole internet marketing is divided into many, many sub-niches. And we wanted to bring people in from all those areas that would, you know, that would want to run membership sites, but wouldn't necessarily have heard of us from Marketing Main Event 1 or 2. So we spoke to people, you know, on copywriting, on mindset, and on business building, people like Ted Nicholas and Mark Joyner and Mike Filsaime. We spoke to Joel Com on AdSense, Richard Butler on mindset. Lots of great people that sort of know the stuff in markets that we didn't necessarily have a connection with. And when we made the snippets of all those calls and started to give them away, those people also promoted those snippets. So they, in effect, became, you know, they became our partners in the promotion side of things as well. So it worked in two ways. It brought people in who didn't necessarily know who Jeremy and Simon was, and people that wanted to hear what those guys had to say, not what we had to say. So it widened our audience. And it gave people, like Jeremy was saying, it was a real taste of what's to come. We gave away, you know, it was hours of material. There were PDFs and videos. So people could see that it wasn't going to be just products or just like the previous events. It was going to be different. And, you know, as Jeremy was saying, we gave people acres of content on the basis that when they looked at that and thought, wow, you know, these guys are giving this away. What the hell are they going to charge $1,000 for? And so that was one of the things that we wanted to do. And I think for, you know, people that are listening to this that have their own product or their own membership site and they want a successful pre-launch, there are a number of factors that they need to consider. You have to build, in the pre-launch, you have to build a desire for the product. I mean, in a way, we did that with MME2 for MME3 because a lot of people, you know, wanted the software that we'd use to run those sites. You know, it's a small, even though there's lots of sort of mini niches within the internet marketing niche, people, you know, good news travels fast, and people go, wow, these guys just did $700,000 in a week, and people go, oh, what software did they use to run the site? So we knew there was a desire there already for the software. And the people listening need to spend some time, like Jeremy was saying, recruiting people to help them with the launch. They need to create a buzz with, you know, with whatever content that they use, whether it's going to be PDFs or audios or videos, maybe even software. I mean, just for example, let's say somebody listening to this has got a software product that they want to sell and they want to launch it. Well, maybe offer in the pre-launch a light version, say, of that software, so people can actually get to start to use it, get to see the capabilities and the possibilities that they could have with that software, and then obviously then follow through with the full version. I mean, that's an option, to use software in a launch. You know, and then there's lots of other things as well. You've got press releases. I mean, we use press releases quite extensively. This forum marketing, but basically whatever the people that are listening here can do is get people talking about what's coming, build that buzz. And like Jamie was saying, it's very important to work with JV partners and affiliates. I mean, one of the things that we did with MemberSpeed was we actually created about 100, I mean, generally I think it might have been more, but was it about 100 test accounts on subdomains?
So I think I was pushing 200. These are review accounts, basically, of the software that we've set up personally, each one, for every potential JV partner. And out of that 200, I guess about half actually promoted.
That's it. So they got a chance to play around with it prior to, you know. So, you know, we all see these launches where people say, oh, you know, Joe Bloggs contacted me personally and he's allowed me to do this. You know, those guys that promoted it heavily were the ones that had probably used it the most, and they'd seen what it could do. So they were genuine, you know, even though we had sort of, you know, cut and paste email copy to go out there, most of the people sort of, you know, created reviews based on their own experiences with the software. And then the other thing is, when you get to a launch of that size, you've also got to understand what makes, you know, some of the JV partners tick. I mean, we had a competition, and the first place prize in that competition was $10,000 plus the commission, so whoever came first got $10,000. But the thing is, I mean, Jeremy and I both know for a fact that for the people that were, you know, up there on the leaderboard, probably the money was secondary for a lot of them. You know, those guys, you know, millionaires making, you know, $10,000 a day, it doesn't really matter if they win $10,000 in some instances. I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't always matter. I mean, if you're building the buzz for the product and the site, one of the things that you should also consider is building the buzz for the JV or the affiliate competition that's going on behind that site. You've got to try and engineer in some sort of competitive element into that promotion. Because, I mean, a lot of these guys, they want to win the things. I mean, right now, I mean, Jeremy will tell you, I mean, we're dropping basically $1,000 bonus on our members and subscribers if they sign up to one of our friends' membership sites. Now, it's $47 to become a member of that site, you know, but we've put a genuine $1,000 worth of bonuses together for people to join his site. I mean, it's a great site to start off with. No, it's not because we're desperate for the cash, you know, because in reality, you know, whatever it is of $47 isn't an awful lot of money. But the guy I'm talking about is Ewan Chia. I guess, you know, a lot of people will know who that is. And he's won so many of our competitions, this time we thought, bloody hell, we've got to win his, you know. So sometimes it's the double thing. You've got to promote the product, you've got to promote the launch of the product to the customer, but you've also got to spend probably as much time building the buzz and creating that competitive element for the JV partners and for the affiliates, and get them buzzing about it as well. I mean, it's very much like, you know, the AIDA copywriting formula, AIDA. It's the same thing in a launch, on a pre-launch. You've got to get attention, that's the A. You've got to generate interest. You've got to create a desire, and then you've got to get people to take action. So the copywriting AIDA formula, you can pretty much apply it to a product launch as well.
Yeah, just to add something there, everybody listening, what Simon mentioned about JV partners and contests. Anybody can do this. You know, when you're launching a product, you know, have some kind of incentives to really get people to promote. This works. You know, it does. It really works. And it's not really the money. It's just they want to win. And when you're planning your product launch, not only do you have to plan the launch of the product itself, you also have to plan the launch of your JV side promotions. You know, I mean, we basically launched our kind of JV promotions privately several months in advance. I mean, we gave most of our warm contacts a good 3 to 4 months advance notice that we were doing something big. MME3 was coming in June. That's basically what we told them all. And, well, I think originally it was going to be May, and then we pushed it back a month. But, so give people lots of notice. I mean, it's unbelievable how many JV contacts, you know, people will send out and say, hey, I've got this great product launch. You're going to make a lot of money. The launch is Tuesday. Today is Monday. It's like, come on. You know? I get those all the time. I just delete them. And I'm sure Simon does too. You probably do too, Terry.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you've got to plan that well ahead of time. You have to think about your partners and your affiliates. You have to think about their schedules. You have to respect their time. Don't waste their time. And plan accordingly. If you know one of your could possibly be your best producer for your launch is also launching a product around the same time as yours, most likely you're going to have a hard time getting them to promote your product. You know, it's a conflict of interest. So you've got to keep your eye on the marketplace. That's why, you know, as Simon said earlier, you have to know your marketplace. You have to know what's going on. You know, keep your ear to the door, so to say, and listen to what's going on. I mean, we know a lot of people, so we pretty much know what's going on. And people contacting us say, hey, I've got this going on next week or next month or whatever. So I guess it's a little easier for us to plan because we did it so far in advance. We just said, hey, all right, we've got to be the launch of this summer, you know, so anybody else just backs off kind of and just nobody wants to launch their product, you know, end of May or June because MME3 is coming. That's how we told everybody a good 3 to 4 months in advance that it's coming. And if they want to launch a product, basically, well, we're going to have a huge one, so get ready. And we had a competition, and we had the official JV kind of sign-up a good month in advance. I think it was about a month in advance where we basically created a unique page and sent it out where JVs could sign up and review, you know, the site and the product. So that's something that you need to think about when you're launching your product is the JV side too, and getting people, your partners, you know, give them full access. Actually, write a sales page just aimed at your JV partners to get them to sign up and just to get them to promote it. And it's really hard work sometimes to convince people why they should promote your product. You know, everybody thinks their product's the best product in the world. You know, but trying to convince somebody else that is another story. So you've got to prove it. You've got to show them, you've got to convince them why they should promote your product. Yes, commissions are nice, but a lot of times people are more interested in the quality of your product, the quality of your service, you know, and if that's solid, then they'll look at, you know, the money, and then they'll look at, you know, is there a competition? If there are I'll give you an example. This week is a crazy week right now. There's like a product launching every day, some are two or three a day, all right? And we looked, you know, I think I had 50 JV requests in the last couple of weeks from people. And I'm like, you know, sorry, you know, we're booked. You know, nice product. I wish you well. I hope it does great. But sorry, I can't help you out. You know, I can't send 2 emails a day to everybody. You know, so we had to be selective. And one thing that we were very selective was people who had helped us in the past, number one, and also of those people who had helped us, what's their product like? What's the quality? What is it? And after that, you know, are they having some kind of competition or contest to make it interesting? You know, so I guess E1T was probably the best solution for us this week because, A, we wanted to return a favor. He was our number one for a long time. And he had a contest on top of it, and it's just kind of fun to try to win. It's kind of like sports. It's an event. You want to win. And so there's a lot of things to consider when you're launching a product. So that's just some insider tips for people listening about how JVs work.
Excellent. I think that's a real key there, is to get your joint venture partners pretty much your ducks in a row, and have them almost competing with each other, or definitely competing with each other, to try and get the top dog position in the whole thing. Now, one of the things you mentioned, Simon, I just want to go into a little bit more detail, is to create a buzz for the products and the joint venture partnerships and stuff. You guys sent out a press release. Now, was that a press release for the pre-launch, or was it a press release announcing the launch?
We used the press release to it wasn't announcing the pre-launch, it was announcing the launch, but we used it in the pre-launch. I hope that it's getting late for me, and I hope people that understood that. We the press release told people what was coming. You know, it was the launch of the software. So it told people that when it was launching, what it was going to do, where they could come and find it. And that, and I think we did maybe a couple of press releases that were sent out through PR Web, and they worked very well, and we've continued to use those since, because they do get an awful lot of exposure. You know, we've used them on the plugins to bring people to the memberspeed.com site as well. So it was just another area, because I think if you focus on one particular area, you know, you're limiting yourself. I mean, the more time you can spend planning and going through this pre-launch phase, where you can attract attention from as many different places as possible. I mean, we knew we were going to get the attention of our JV partners, subscribers and members. We knew we were going to get the attention of our own members and subscribers. But because of, you know, the nature of this product, it was, you know, suitable not just for internet marketers, but for anybody with a business online. We wanted to take that into a wider audience beyond our current market, into sort of like the realms of business. So the way that the press releases were written was in a style to attract business owners and just general business owners, not necessarily entrepreneurs or internet marketers. And, you know, using the PR Web service, I mean, they got syndicated very quickly, and, you know, the links that were coming in, the traffic that was coming in from those was very good too. So I'd recommend people to use that, but also to look at all the different ways. I mean, there are 1,001 ways to promote something online. And, you know, in addition to promoting, you know, the product itself, you know, announce it to the world that you've got something coming, and do that with, you know, forum marketing, press releases, free reports, videos on YouTube, social networking, whatever you can use to attract attention and create interest and build the desire for the product that you're going to have, then it's going to benefit you.
Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Now, we've gone through really the brainstorming and planning stages. We've got through the pre-launch. Now, coming into the launch, what kind of things should we be looking for, preparing ourselves for, when it's a launch the size that you guys did? What kind of things do you kind of pre-plan and put into effect for the launch?
Well, I think the big thing is to have everything in place. It's critical. I mean, if you're going to do, you know, maybe 200 or 300 sales, it's still important, but it's not as critical as something as big as that. You've got to test things like crazy, make sure everything works in advance. You know, you've got to get your site ready, you've got to, you know, prep the people that are working for you, because seriously, I mean, there's nothing on a launch of that sort of scale, there's nothing that's going to prepare you for how crazy it gets. I mean, it's just, you know, nuts. I mean, so you've got to make sure that things that you may be thinking, oh, I'll do that, you know, the following day, you know, like email copy to send out on day two, make sure it's already written. You know, make sure you've got backups of all the big things in place, you know, like your hosting or the payment providers, payment solutions. As many things as you can, make sure that you've got backups and things like that. You know, make sure that your affiliate program is tracking properly. You know, do some test ordering, make sure that all the payment links and all the download links work. And if you don't have a support desk, get one. You know, there isn't a, you haven't got a cat in hell's chance, shall we say, of providing support via email for something like that. You've got to put a support desk in place. Jeremy and I, on Enemy 1 and Enemy 2, handled a lot of the support ourselves. And Jeremy, how mad was it?
It was crazy.
It was absolutely crazy. Seriously, I think during the week of the Enemy 2, we were probably working 18 hours a day just replying to emails. I mean, we literally got to the end of Enemy 2, and, you know, we'd done the best part of $700,000, and we were just both so knackered. It was like, great, see you tomorrow. that's not a feeling that you want to have, but we're literally just exhausted. I mean, the build up to the thing is taxing enough, shall we say, but then to just get hit with email after email after email after email, and you've got to reply to people because it could be, you know, you could be losing sales by not replying. You could have people that, you know, can't find something in the site and they need help. So have a support desk so that it can simplify and streamline getting tickets to and responses back to people. You know, make sure that the logins on the site work. I mean, any single one of those areas that breaks during a launch, it could be disaster, and it can cause you know major stress. I mean, planning's boring. We know it's boring. Everybody hates planning for stuff, but it's very, very important. I mean, I think in the first hour of Marketing Made Event 3, when that went live, we generated somewhere in excess of $100,000 in sales within the first hour. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if that site had crashed? You know, we I don't think either of us would have liked the idea of losing $100,000. I mean, maybe we wouldn't have done, but it could have been $20,000, it could have been $30,000, it could have been $50,000, you know. And not only that, if you've been prepping up your JV partners and your affiliates and saying, look guys, we're going to launch at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 10:30 the site's still not there, you know, you're letting other people down as well, and there's nothing worse. And the other thing is, what you've got to do, and just talking about launches, and this is something that everyone that's got members be listening to this, it's something that everybody should do. You know, you've got to create a reason to get people to order now. You know, because a million and one things can happen in the process if they don't. So if you spent all the time and effort, and in some cases money as well in the pre-launch period, you've got to make sure that the actual launch works. Everything's got to work. If it doesn't, you've got to have backups, and you've got to be ready in case you have a problem, because some problems will happen. But one of the things that you've got to do is, when people get to that sales page, when people see your offer, you've got to get them to order now. You know, and one of the ways to do that is to, and it's a tried and tested method, is to put bonuses, you know, for the first number of people to come in, you know, different bonuses. I mean, people listening to this call got this call, they got access to this call as one of the bonuses on the site. Now, here's the thing. If anyone's run a successful fire sale that's listening to this call, they'll know this is perfectly true. If you've got, you know, the price is going up, or you've got 100 bonuses on the site for the first 100 people, the orders in that first hour or the first few days can be, you know, they can be huge. But once the bonuses have gone, or once the price goes up, you know, the order volume can drop massively. I mean, I've spoken to people that have run fire sales where, you know, the price starts at $97, it then goes to $197 in day five. On day five, they might as well go home, you know, because there's nothing coming in. People get it straight away because of the price or because of the extra bonuses that are on offer. Now, we wanted to create that incentive on MME3. We wanted to get them to order now, and we used bonuses to do that. We had a whole series of bonuses that were, you know, on the site. But what we didn't want to do was have the lack of bonuses affect sales for the rest of the 7 days. You know, let's put it this way. If we'd have said the first 100 people are going to get this, next 100 people are going to get that, by day two, those would have been long gone. They'd have been history, and there wouldn't have been a thing on the page. So everyone coming in after that time, you know, that first fraction of the sale, there was nothing to incentivize them to get them in. And what you can end up doing, and we've done this in the past, and I've done this in the past, is you're then thinking, okay, what bonus can I put on now? And you end up overcommitting yourself and or creating an awful lot more work for yourself. So because we didn't want, you know, bonuses disappearing off the page to affect sales, we actually built what I guess a lot of people listening to this now have or can get access to, was our Stampede Manager plugin. And basically what happened was all the bonuses stayed on the page. You know, people got access to the bonuses later, but they still had to get into the site fast to get more of the bonuses. We had, I think we had like 10, 12 bonuses on the page. If people were in the first 100, they got to pick, four bonuses or three bonuses. If they were in the next 100, and it was a decreasing scale. I don't know what the actual numbers were at the moment. But those bonuses, because we gave access to the bonuses later through the Stampede, they never left the sales page. So there was always that incentive. So even somebody coming in at, 23 hours and 59 minutes of day 7 still had a chance to get the top bonus if they were ready to jump into the Stampede. Now, the thing is, I mean, Jeremy and I have discussed this on a number of occasions, and we've said, we'll never really know how much more that added in profit or in orders to that sale. But, I mean, our guess is it's somewhere between 10 and 15%, because they never left that page. 10 or 50% more orders because people still came in and bought because they were incentivized by those bonuses. And 10 or 15% in this instance was, it was nearly $200,000. So if you're listening to this and you've got the Stampede Manager in MemberSpeed, make sure you use it on your launch, because I think you'll see that it'll make a heck of a difference. And it gives you a lot of flexibility and different ways to incentivize. I mean, you could use it to, for existing members even. If they upgrade, you can offer them bonuses and things like that. So incentivize, get everything working in the launch. I said that really is critical. Test it. I mean, Jeremy and I have promoted offers in the past, and 3 minutes into it, you've just blasted out, emails to 150,000 people, and the site goes down. Well, that's happened to me, it's happened to Jeremy, and the next time that person says, will you promote my offer, my mind wanders back to the day that I had to spend 24 hours replying to my own subscribers, apologising for sending them to a page that didn't work. So they don't get top priority on the list. So make sure everything works. That's really critical.
Excellent. Do you have anything to add to that, Jeremy, about the launch?
Yeah. What was the question again?
Sorry, I went on a bit there, sorry.
We're looking at the different aspects that we have to be concerned about when we're launching in the launch phase of the
launch. Right. Okay, yeah, as Simon mentioned, have all your ducks lined up in a row. Just to get back to the bonus stampede for a second here, the bonus stampede, I think, is something that we've never seen done before. I think for anybody listening and for us, it is a new concept, because everybody does the same old first 10 get this, first 50 get this, first 200 get this. And what happens, exactly what Simon said, is sales drop. After those bonuses are gone, sales slow down, big time. So when you're planning your launch, you also should plan to have some fast action bonuses, because they can greatly help your sales. You want people to take action, and another thing that we did on every single event was time limited. The first two, I think, were 10 days, and then the last one was 7 days. So, people knew they only had a certain time frame to get it, and then it's over. I think if you leave it open-ended, people look at it like, why didn't you just keep selling it? You could have made $2 million or $3 million. Well, maybe we could have, but I don't think the sales would have been so high, in that 7 days if it had just been open-ended. You could get it any time. You have to give a reason, for people to buy right now, not later. Because what happens, if you give people a reason to buy later, a lot of times they don't buy at all. So you've got to give people a reason to get it now. And a reason to get it right now, in addition to having a time limited is to give people a bonus, you know. Give them something really cool, you know, great value if they buy right now. And the bonus stampede, as Simon explained, was really cool because it didn't matter when you bought MME3, you still had a chance to get that bonus because it was like the first 500 get 4 bonuses, and then the next 500 get, you know, 3 bonuses, and then the next, you know, 500 get 2 bonuses, and then after that they get 1, right? So it was a pretty fair system because we didn't launch any of the bonus. Nobody could get a bonus until MME3 was closed. So after it closed, I think the next day, you know, we gave everybody notice. We said the bonus stampede is going to go live at, I think it was 8 or 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So be ready, you know, be ready to get your bonuses. And I think the only thing that was maybe unfair about that was people's connection speeds, because you have some people on broadband that can just go in there, click what they got, and they got it, you know, in a couple seconds. And then you got other people who are maybe still on dial-up, you know, living in the jungle in the Amazon or, you know, back in Australia or somewhere, and they just, the site would not load.
Or living in Manchester in England.
Or in the UK on copper wire still, yeah. But, so, it, you know, I think that was the only downside, was it depended on where people lived and their connection speed, because that was the biggest complaint we got, was people were saying, I couldn't get the bonus I wanted because the page loaded too slow. You know, and it wasn't the server. The server was fine. It was people's connection speed. So I guess that was the only downside. But, yeah, for everybody listening, that's something that's right in member speed that you can use yourself for your own launch. You know, use it. Just make sure you have, you know, a good server to support it so it doesn't go down. But, yeah, getting back to other things that you need, make sure you have solid hosting. Like Simon said, you don't want your site to ever go down. Monitor your server during the launch. We had a dedicated supporter, or a dedicated server, sorry, that can basically handle 1,500 gigabytes of traffic a month. And that server was running 800% load during the first hour of MME3. We seriously were sweating it. We were like, oh no, it's going to go down. And luckily, it held up.
Well, we had one of our tech support guys was on the phone to us, wasn't he, during the launch all the time. He was monitoring the server. And if people remember back to sort of Star Trek in the 60s, before my time, I might add, but if, you know, I watched the reruns. Scotty was in the engine room going, you know, she's not going to hold much longer, Captain. Well, that was basically our tech support guy.
That was tech support on Skype, yeah.
And, you know, you've got to make sure that it is good, because otherwise, if you're getting that volume of traffic, it will just frazzle. And I don't think our server stayed up perfectly well. I think we actually took a couple of other people's out in line somewhere, didn't we? I think.
Yeah, well, because we were running dedicated servers, we actually have 3 of them, and we wanted to set up a load balancer so that the load would be balanced between all 3 dedicated servers. But we actually didn't have time to get that set up before the launch with the hosting company. Actually, what happened was, as soon as the launch was over, the hosting company contacted us and said, hey, we can get that load balancer up now. We're like, guys, sorry, we just finished. We don't need it anymore. Do it. So luckily things went well, but we had planned on putting that up. So plan your server, plan your hosting. You know, don't take a $10 shared hosting account if you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people going to your site. Another thing to think about is your payment processing. What are you going to use to collect payments? There are a lot of payment processes out there, you know, third parties. You know, you got PayPal, one of the biggest ones. You have things like AuthorizeNet to checkout. You have ClickBank. You know, there's a lot of third-party payment processors out there that you can use to run your payment processing system, or you could use your own merchant account. So you've got to look into that and have that fully set up, fully operational, and tested fully. You have to test your payments. You know, set up affiliate links and buy, you know, from dummy test accounts, track the sales, track the hits, track the commissions, make sure everything's working, all the emails are going out, you know, the AR emails and stuff, make sure everything's working, basically, so you got to test. And if you're going to expect high volume and you're using, you know, a third party or your own merchant account, you need to contact them and tell them in advance what's going to happen. Because if you don't, you know, let's say you run along steadily at $100 a day or, you know, $500 a day or whatever processing, or $1,000 a day or something through your merchant account. And suddenly you hit $200,000 today. Well, you know, your merchant account's going to go, wow, what happened here? You know, let's check this out.
Somebody's butt cheeks in PayPal are going to get clenched very tightly, aren't they, when the machine goes from $1,000 to $200,000.
Yeah. See, you need to contact them. And luckily, I have an account manager at PayPal, so I contacted him about a month in advance and told him what we were doing. I even gave him full review access. I said, hey, here's a review of our site. You can log in, check it out, make sure it's okay with PayPal that we're going to use it, blah, blah, blah. And basically, he just replied and said, hey, we hope you do great. And to check out, same thing. We contacted them about a month in advance, said we're going to be expecting a high volume of sales between this day and this day. Here's a login access to the membership site we're selling. Please log in, check it out, make sure, you know, everything's okay with you guys. And they just replied, said, yeah, you know, go ahead and do your launch, you're fine. So make sure that's, you know, lined up. So you got your hosting, you got your payment gateways, those are your backbones, you know, of your product launch. And then you want to have great sales copy, of course. So make sure that's done in plenty of time so that you can tweak it and edit it and change it, you know, as you go. So you're not like putting a rough draft up 5 minutes before launch. You know, you want to have that done plenty of time. So those are things you have to plan during launch. And yeah, just a lot of testing. It's really boring, but you have to do it. You have to test every single thing. You know, every link on your site, every AR message that goes out, every page, every download, every feature, whatever. You have to test, and make sure that thing is perfect. Because when your customers get your product or your service, you don't want to have any problems. Because if you do, your support's going to get hit hard. You know. And, yeah, Simon mentioned, have a support desk if you can, and hire some people to take care of your support, even if it's just during the launch. Hire some people that take care of support during the launch, because you don't want to be spending your time handling support if you have to do the marketing. You know, you're running your business. You're the one that needs to be marketing it and contacting your JV partners and your affiliates and making the sales during the launch. So, you know, you shouldn't have to be sitting on the support desk, you know, answering thousands of questions that come in and things like that. Have professional people who can help you out. I think we had 6 or 7 people on our support desk during the first week, and Simon and I jumped in whenever, you know, something that we had to handle came up. So you need to think about support issues. I guess those are your basic issues you need to think about. You know, hosting, payment gateway, support, some kind of, you know, your sales copy, and then some kind of bonus incentives.
Now, where do you actually host your sites, Jeremy?
Where do we host it?
Yeah. Where would somebody, if they're looking for serious quality hosting like you guys are using, where do you actually host your sites?
We use The Planet. We've used them for a couple years now. And for what we use, they're very good. We've never had, pretty much had zero downtime in the last couple of years. Think sites maybe went off a couple times for some little glitch for a few hours, you know, but it was easily fixed. Very good quality. We also have a hosting service at memberspeedhost.com. That's memberspeedhost.com. And if you go to memberspeed.com, there's a link on the site to go to that. It's a good service that there's different packages together for people who need maybe a low end to start with, or maybe a higher end if they're more serious. But yeah, it just depends on what you need for your business. if you need a shared host or a dedicated host, you know. I mean, we actually have a private rack right now, where so nobody else is even on that rack. It's all ours. So it's you know, it depends on what you need for your business.
Excellent.
Well, I was going to say, if people go to memberspeedhost.com, at the moment we're actually running, if you register for an account, you get a free domain name as well. And we have a plan that starts at $8.95, which is, as Jeremy says, like a lower-end plan. And then we have a budget plan and then a higher-end plan. And the higher-end plan, if you look at that, you sort of get 300 gigabytes of data transfer, 20,000 megabytes of data storage, and you can actually put 30 domains on that account. And, you know, I think for most people with sort of, you know, good to high-end traffic, that would be a great plan. Plus, there is a guarantee of an hour support turnaround on that site as well. So when you're looking for a host, I mean, our hosting, you know, is that we use on those main sites is very expensive, and, you know, you start looking at things like load balancers, it excuse me, it goes up an awful lot. But if you're looking for, you know, good price, good service, then if people go to Member Speed Host, they can get a good deal on there. Sorry, end of advertisement.
just yeah, to add to that. Sorry, go ahead,
yeah,
Jeremy.
I was just going to say the difference, you know, is, you know, we use the plan because they have one of the best, what we feel is the best dedicated servers around, and that's what we needed. We needed full dedicated servers, private racks, things like that. That's why we're going with the Planet. Big companies such as HostGator, they use the Planet, you know, and you know, a lot of these middle companies use the Planet. So if you're looking for something really, really robust, but be prepared to spend anywhere from a couple hundred a month to $1,000 or $2,000 a month, if you're going to go there. And I think that might be out of reach for most people. So that's why we have memberspeedhost.com, which is more affordable for, you know, for most people.
Yeah, just to add to that, with the Planet, it's very, if people are looking for something technical, that they're going to either need to be a programmer themselves or they have,
yep,
a programmer, the Planet's,
yep,
a great place to go because you're going direct. If,
yeah,
you're,
yeah,
somebody,
yeah,
like myself, who I don't have a programmer, I'm not a technical person, don't bother trying to go to the Planet directly because it's not going to work. Go to, if you're looking at a shared service, definitely go to Member Speed Host and get it there. If you're looking at a dedicated server but you don't have your own technical staff or you're not technical, HostGator is the Planet's reseller. And that's where I've got a dedicated server as well, but it's through HostGator because I can't deal with the Planet because they're very technical. And they want,
yeah,
they've got all these hoops to jump through that I didn't even understand what they're talking about. But HostGator is the reseller, is basically the reselling arm of the Planet. So you can get,
yeah,
a dedicated server through them, and they take care of all the technical stuff. So they're kind of like the go-between. But if somebody's looking for the stage before that, before you go and get your own dedicated server, definitely get on to Member Speed Host and get your service done there, because all that's top quality stuff that you'll be getting in there as well.
I was going to say, yeah, just one thing on that, that's it. I mean, we have, you know, tech guys that look after the hosting side of things. Whereas I've once tried to read through some of the tech support documents on the Planet, and you would need basically a degree in Japanese maths to be able to work it out what the hell those guys are talking about. So,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Well, now, once we've got, now, back to our membership site, we've got everything done, the launch is done, the site's up and rolling, the smoke's cleared, the huge sales are pretty much, the huge sales spike of the launch is completed, things are kind of calmed down. What's the next thing? What do we have to do at the, basically, the post-launch?
Well, I can answer that fairly quickly, I think, there. I mean, one of the things, you've always got to be looking forwards. So, I mean, you know, you have a great success, you need to capitalize on that success. And that's one thing that people should always be looking to do. What's step two? What's next? And I think, you know, you'll build a very successful business if you do that. That, and, you know, I could have explained that far more long-windedly, but really that's all you have to do. What's next? How can I build on this success? And I think post-launch, you know, when you have a big launch like this, I think one of the things that you've got to do, I mean, your brain does get fried. I mean, there's so many things going on, you know, so just sit back a minute and enjoy it. And that's another thing that people should do. I mean, sometimes we've failed to do that. We've just gone straight on to, you know, to the next project. And I think sometimes it's good to sort of, you know, sit back and take stock of what's happened, look where you've had problems. I mean, the biggest thing for us that we found after NME3 closed the doors was just the volume of support. I mean, you can do everything in your power. You know, we had videos on the member login page, and we tried to think of everything, but you can never think of anything, of everything. You know, so have support staff that can help people. Keep that support desk manned for a period afterwards. I mean, we still have it now. You know, there are people on there now still that answer the support. That's why we're talking here now and not answering, you know, support emails. and you've got to help people as fast as you possibly can. I mean, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, our initial goal for the NME3 sale was to break the $1 million mark. I mean, for us, that was the point that we wanted to do. And as it got more and more into the pre-launch, we realised it was going to do better than that. But I think Jeremy and I were both very pleasantly surprised when it hit, you know, we say 1.7 million, I think it was probably 1.695 million. We were very close to hitting 1.7, but it was in that region. And there's always going to be issues that crop up. You know, however you write something down, somebody will misinterpret what you've said. You know, finding links on sites, how to watch videos, how to set things up. So the main thing is to keep support going and look after people that have spent the money with you. Sit back and relax a little bit yourself, you know, take a breather, and then, okay, what can we do to move on from this? I think really that's all people need to be aware of, I guess. I mean, Jeremy, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, just as Simon mentioned, make sure you handle your support issues, because they are now your customer. You know, they're no longer a prospect, they're your customer. Take care of them and do what you can to help them out. And if you're selling software, I guess that would probably be one of the businesses that you might have the most support on, as we found out. You know, like Simon said, we tested everything and tested and tested and tested. We had like 20 beta testers testing the software before we launched it. And of course, after we had 1,500, 1,600 people using it, you know, live, real time, of course, you know, then you have many more people who can find things that maybe were missed or maybe something isn't quite right. So the first month, we spent basically fixing anything that came up and answering support. You know, our tech staff did a great job on that. And also, if you have a launch, especially a higher-end item, you need to expect a few refunds to come in. Now, that's just common business. Every business has them. So be prepared. You know, don't get down about it. It's going to happen. It's just figure, you know, a 5% or, you know, 10%, you know, refund rate, you know, if you have, you know, whatever business you're in. Just expect it. And have somebody, if you can, have somebody set up for billing who can handle all those issues for you. Because as a business owner, that can really take up a lot of your time and when you should be moving your company forward, you know. So have somebody to help with billing, have somebody to help with, you know, tech support or things like that, or just helping people find what they need and then keep moving forward. Because we had to send things like member updates to the members. We had to send things to our JV partners, you know, updates, who won the contest, and then we had to pay commissions. Make sure you pay your commissions on time. Make sure you tell your affiliates when you're going to pay the commissions. Otherwise, they're all going to ask, you know, when am I getting paid? You know, so have very clear instructions for them. If you're running a contest, it's a good idea to maybe pay the prize money right away as soon as you're finished, and then, you know, pay the commissions later. So those are things you need to take care of. If you're moving forward, you know, make sure you send regular updates your customers, to your members, things like that. In the last 6 months, we've really, really improved on, you know, the Members Beat software. We've started an entire new site, a new company. We've really improved on it. We're up to version 1.8 now, working on version 1.9, because we took all that feedback, all these issues that came in from our customers, and we listened to them, and we improved on all these suggestions and things like that. And we've really tried to do as much as we can to make our customers happy. And, you know, maybe our customers sometimes think we're moving too slow or, what's going on, but, you know, things take time. You know, it's not magic. You can't just snap your fingers and have everything happen at once, even though we'd like to. So it's really important to keep your customers happy and maybe do things like take surveys to your customers. Hey, how did you like my product? Hey, what can I do to help you? Maybe have a forum set up for your customers. Have easy access to contact your support desk, things like that. The thing you probably don't want to do is start hitting them with offers as soon as they just became your customer. I've seen people do this where, you know, as soon as you've joined their, bought their product, you suddenly get bombarded with offers, you know, every day, every week, whatever. Maybe try to take it easy on, if you have a higher end item, you know, especially, you know, like maybe a, you know, if you have a $10,000 coaching client, you know, don't start recommending tons of stuff to them, you know, take care of them. So we have hardly recommended anything to our MME3 members, actually. I think we've only done maybe two or three endorsements to them. I think three endorsements maybe at the most in the last 6 months. Basically, it's all updates, you know, things like that. So really just do everything you can to take care of your customers.
Excellent. I think that gives us a very, very detailed overview of exactly what we need to do in every different phase in the whole process of really from the brainstorming and the idea phase and planning right straight through to what we have to do after the whole thing is launched. But if we go a little bit higher up, take a kind of a high-level overview of why in the first place, why bother creating a membership website as opposed to selling ebooks or software or DVDs or something like that. What's the high level overview? Why bother doing the membership website thing?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I mean, we don't suggest that it's something that everybody should do. You know, I mean, I have a lot of products out there that are sold via basic sales pages and sort of thank you pages and things like that. So, I mean, it's not something that everybody has to do. But a membership site, I mean, let's look at marketing, internet marketing, direct response marketing. What it's all about in my mind is building relationships. You know, it's very unlikely that you'll make wealth from one-time sales. You build wealth by creating relationships with people and creating products and follow-up products and back-end products and product number two, number three, number four, and number five. Repeat custom is the big part of the profits in direct response and internet marketing. Now, to get that repeat custom, A, you have to have good products, but B, you also have to build relationships with people. You know, you have to let people get to know you to see that you offer good quality products, and a membership system allows you to do it a lot more effectively. And it doesn't matter what you sell. I mean, you know, you could, you know, if you were selling an ebook, a software program, or a DVD, if you wanted to, it would be very easy to turn that into a membership system. You basically use the membership site as the area that somebody can download. And then you can add in more value to the product. You know, maybe along with the software that they just downloaded, you can put a video tutorial that's in the membership site to show people how to use it. You can put an instruction manual in that site. And then you can link to complementary or related products or services or tools that relate to what you're showing people. So a membership site lets you begin that process of building a relationship far more effectively than just a thank you page where somebody downloads a product and away they go.